Praise God. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me tonight to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 13 and verse number 15. Amen. I appreciate those songs tonight. I feel like God gave me a confirmation with this message. Amen. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. It says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Amen. Amen. When we come into the house of the Lord, amen, that's what we're to do. We're to give him praise. Praise God. But not because we have to. Amen. Not because we're forced to. Not because someone tells us to. Amen. But we do so because we want to. Amen. We do so because we have it in our hearts to. Amen. If you would help me pray, and let's ask for God's hand upon this service. Lord Jesus, we love you today, God. We thank you for your precious word, God. Lord, we ask that you would anoint it every heart, every mind, every need in this house, Lord God. Lord, and help us to receive it in our lives, Jesus. God, we thank you for what we felt in this house already. We thank you, God, for the presence of your spirit that we felt in this house right now, God. Lord, we give you the glory and the honor, God. We give you all the praise, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated tonight. Amen. As I was doing some studying, I was pondering, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about the word sacrifice there. And I believe tonight that very few of us, probably not any of us, really fully grasp the full concept of what sacrifice was as it pertained to the Old Testament. Amen. I don't believe that anybody brought with them a ram or a bullock tonight to be sacrificed. Amen. But we did bring a sacrifice. Amen. We brought a sacrifice of our praise, as it says in the scripture that we read. Sacrifice in the Old Testament was something that was done on a regular basis. Something that they saw take place at least once a year, sometimes daily, depending on where they lived. But they would see it once a year on the Passover. People would bring animals to be sacrificed, and they would do it for different reasons. They would offer a sacrifice for a sin offering or for a trespass offering, or they would do it for a peace offering, whatever the case may be. But each of these sacrifices was commanded by God. They didn't bring the leftovers when they brought a sacrifice. They didn't bring the blemished of the animals, the ones that were spotted. They didn't bring the ones that were halt or maimed. They didn't bring, if they brought a turtle dove or another type of bird, they didn't bring one that had a damaged wing or feathers missing from it. But they brought the most beautiful of the sacrifice. They brought the unblemished, the spotless sacrifice. They brought the sacrifice that if they were to sell it, would bring the most amount of money. They brought the sacrifice that if they were to slay it and to eat of it, it would probably feed them more. It was probably a fatter sacrifice than some of the smaller of the flock. But they didn't bring the leftovers. They didn't bring whatever they had left over after they had made their money or after they had eaten. But they brought God the very best of their offering, the very best of their sheep or their lambs or their birds. Whatever they had, they brought it to God. And that's really what God deserves. God deserves the best. Amen. God deserves the best in the Old Testament. God deserves the best in the New Testament. Amen. Daily, weekly, yearly, they sacrificed and they brought these animals before the Lord. In those days, the people were very familiar with the altar. Exodus chapter number 20 and verse 24 says, "An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee." And look at this, it says, "And if thou wilt make an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone or cut stone," stone that was shaped or made to be something else, "for if you lift up a tool upon it, you have polluted it." God said that if you're going to make me an altar of stone, I don't want you to touch it. The rocks that you build it out of are perfect. Modify the altar in any way. God has already established the altar. God has already established what the altar signifies and what it means to us. We don't have to try to make it something that it's not. I won't go into details tonight, but I will tell you that God was very specific about what was sacrificed. The animals that were offered for different things, and he was very specific about how it was to be sacrificed. It was not a pretty picture. It was not a pretty thing to see. It was not all roses and flowers and beautiful things. Whenever we think of sacrifice, we need to think of something that's very ugly. Something that was very crude and something that you didn't really want to see. There was blood that was shed for the offering, for the sacrifice. There was blood that was shed upon the altar. Amen. The bullock or the ram or the lamb, whatever was brought, had to go through the process that God had established. There had to be death. There had to be bloodshed. Without blood, the Bible tells us that there is no remission of sin. Without blood, there was no way for the sins of the people to be rolled back. It was not a pretty sight to see. And so these animals, after they had been killed and everything was done, they were put upon this altar. They were put upon the altar that God had established as a place of sacrifice. Amen. Exodus chapter number 29 and verse 18 says, "And thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord." Amen. An offering of sweet savor. Now, if you've ever smelt something burn, an animal burn, it's not a sweet savor to you or I. Amen. But if you follow the commandment of God, and these people, whenever they would bring the sacrifice, they were following God's commandment, it was a sweet savor. It wasn't the animal that smelt good in God's nostrils, but it was the offering. It was the sacrifice that was willingly given unto Him. These animals were brought unto that altar. And it says that they were made as an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Fire. Fire was something that destroyed this offering. It was something that destroyed this thing that was offered unto God. That means that when it was all said and done, that there was nothing left of the sacrifice but ashes, if that. Amen. They gave every part of that sacrifice unto God. They didn't try to hold back a little piece of it. They didn't try to hold back something for themselves, but they gave every part of it to God. And when God consumed it, there was nothing left of it. But why did the people do all of this? Obedience, yes, they did it because God commanded them to. When Moses went up onto the mountain, onto Mount Sinai, and got the law, it was commanded that they would do this. But there was more of a reason that they followed these sacrificial laws. Leviticus chapter number 9 and verse 6. Stick with me, I'm going somewhere tonight. But Leviticus chapter number 9 and verse 6 says, "And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded you that you should do. And the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. And Moses said unto Aaron, go unto the altar and offer thy sin offering and thy burnt offering and make an atonement for yourself and for the people and offer the offering for the people and make an atonement for them as the Lord commanded." Amen. These people wanted God. Amen. The Bible says there that they wanted the glory of the Lord to appear unto them. In the Old Testament, it wasn't the same as we've got today. The glory of the Lord would come down into the tabernacle, or it would come down into the temple, and it would appear unto the high priest, and unto the high priest only. He was the only one that would be able to partake or to be able to communicate with God. But that's why they did it. They offered these sacrifices every day, and then they would offer multiple sacrifices on the day of Passover so that the glory of the Lord would come down and so that atonement would be made for their sins. Amen. In the Old Testament, the sins were not done away with, but they were rolled back. Every sin that was committed year after year was pushed back another year. It's almost like giving someone an IOU every year. I owe Freddie $100, and then next year I owe him $100, and I'll pay you next year and next year. And it just keeps getting rolled back. It doesn't go away. Only every year the sins would pile on top of each other. Because the people were flesh. The people were not able to be without sin. And so the sins that were rolled over from last year, these new sins were added on top of that. But that's what they did. They would offer a sacrifice so that these sins could be pushed back, so that they were not hanging over their heads. These people wanted God. They wanted the presence of God. I don't know about you, but I want the presence of God. And every time I come into the house of the Lord, every time I come into church, amen, I want God's presence. I want to be able to feel Him. I don't ever want it to get old to be able to feel the presence of God. Leviticus chapter number 9 and verse 23, skipping down a little bit, It says, and Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when the people saw, they shouted and fell upon their faces. In this instance, God sent the fire that consumed the sacrifice. The priest didn't have to kindle the fire. He didn't have to try to stoke it up and try to get the fire burning hot enough to be able to consume the sacrifice. But in this instance, God consumed the sacrifice. God sent fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice. Can you imagine standing there and seeing this take place? Seeing the altar standing there in front of you and the sacrifice upon the altar, and all of a sudden out of heaven, seeing fire fall upon that altar and consume that sacrifice. Can you imagine the fear that the people had? If God can do that to the sacrifice, what is He able to do to me? Amen. If God can take that sacrifice and do that to it, what is He capable? What is He going to do in my life? What is He going to do for me? And these people were with sin. They had sin in their lives. The sin had not been atoned for yet. And so they're thinking of that. They're keeping that in the back of their mind. They know that they have done wrong. And so the fire of the Lord, this is the first instance that the fire of the Lord falls upon the sacrifice. But the Bible says that God didn't just send the fire, but God is the fire. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse 29 says, "For our God is a consuming fire." Amen. Our God is a consuming fire. Now, this wasn't the only mention in the Bible where fire came down from heaven consuming the sacrifice. In fact, there are several places. And you know what? I don't believe that it got old every time that they saw it, every time that they partook of it. 1 Chronicles chapter number 21 and verse 26 says, "And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering." David here, who wasn't even of the tribe of Levi, offered an acceptable sacrifice unto God. David was a man that was after God's heart. And he did it, I have no doubt in my mind, that he did it according to the will of God and according to the plan that God had laid out. David didn't try to go around it and do it his own way, but he followed God's commandment. And God answered by fire upon that sacrifice. 2 Chronicles chapter number 6 and verse 40 says, "Now my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thy ear be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place." This is the prayer of Solomon. After David had passed and handed down the children of Israel, the kingship to his son Solomon. Solomon went about building a temple for the Lord, a place where God's presence could come down and where God could dwell. Before this, he dwelt in the tabernacle, but they wanted to build him something better because God deserves the very best. And so they made this temple, and they made all the instruments thereof, and they put it all in there. And at the dedication of this temple, at the dedication of this place, Solomon begins to pray unto the Lord, and he reaches out to God, and he gives everything over to God. And this is where we pick up. Verse 41 says, "Now therefore arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place. Thou and the ark of thy strength, let thy priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David thy servant." And so Solomon prays at this dedication of the temple. He gives everything back to the Lord. If we go down to the next chapter, chapter 7 and verse 1, it says, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, For He is good, for His mercy endures forever." Amen. I don't know about you, but that's been my prayer. I can't tell you how many times when I've come into the house of the Lord before service and I just pray, "God, let your glory fill the temple. God, let your glory come down and fill this house. God, let the glory of the Holy Ghost come down and rain down upon this house." Amen. I've asked this specific prayer, not because I don't like preaching. Amen. But I've asked God, let the glory be so thick in this house that the man of God can't even minister. Let it rain down so thick upon this house that the man of God cannot even preach, but that the glory would be so strong upon us. Amen. I know that you've seen it. You've seen Brother Wirth. We have services, and it does happen. It still happens today, just like it did back in this temple. But we've had services where we come and we begin to pray and we begin to seek God, or we'll begin song service and the glory of the Lord fills the house and the people begin to fill the altars and begin to seek the Lord and to cry out. And the man of God will get up after this, after we've prayed for however long it may be, and he'll say that he doesn't feel to preach, that the Lord had done the ministering, that the Lord had preached better than he could in that service. I've heard of ministers coming and not even having messages prepared because God didn't lay it upon their heart to prepare a message for that service, and God's glory filled the house. Amen. Now you may say that that's a bunch of hype. That's a bunch of fluff. You know what? I'm telling you, I've felt God's presence. I've been in services like that where the glory of the Lord was so thick that nobody was able to minister the word of the Lord. Amen. God still does that. And just as he did, the priest could not enter. The priest could not minister in the house of the Lord. Amen. My prayer is let it happen in the church. Amen. Every time we come into the house of the Lord, let it happen in the church. Let the glory fill the temple in such a mighty way that God's presence would overtake us. Amen. We need a renewing like that. Amen. I look at what these people did whenever this happened. The people and the priests, everybody that was around the temple, they fell down upon the pavement and they began to worship the Lord. They praised and they worshiped some more. Amen. When they felt God's presence, they didn't stop. They didn't get scared by it, or they didn't get enough and then stop worshiping the Lord or stop praising the Lord. When we come into the presence of God and when we begin to worship Him in the song service and we begin to feel the presence of God, we need to linger in it. We need to just relish the moment. We need to relish the presence of God. We need to get into the vein of whatever has gotten us to that place, and we need to keep going in that vein. Amen. If worship and praise has gotten us to that place, we need to keep worshiping and praising Him. If thanksgiving, giving thanks unto His name, has gotten us into that place, we just need to keep giving thanksgiving unto Him. Amen. If repentance or submission unto God has gotten us into that place, that's the vein that we need to continue to follow. Whatever presence or whatever has gotten us into the presence of God, we just need to linger in it. Amen. When we come into the house of the Lord, we're not in a hurry. Amen. We don't have anywhere else better to be. Amen. You know what? I've heard ministers say there's no such thing as a bad 20-minute service or a bad 20-minute sermon. Amen. You know what? I don't believe that there's anything bad with a two-hour prayer meeting. Amen. Where you get something from God, where you get up out of that prayer meeting and you feel changed. You feel like God has done something in your life. You feel like God has healed your body. God has given you victory over a situation. Amen. But sometimes we get into this program. We get into this mindset that we'll do it for 10 or 15 minutes or until somebody else stops, and then we're going to stop. Amen. But whenever we get into the presence of God, that's where we want to be. That's why we come to church. That's why we praise God. That's why we seek Him before service, is to get into His presence. Why then would we stop? Why would we stop when we get to His presence? Praise God. We're not locked to a deadline. Amen. We can have church as long as we want. Amen. This building is paid for. We own it. Amen. And we can stay here as long as we want to. Amen. I know it's Wednesday night. I'm not going to keep everybody, but God laid this upon my heart. We've got nothing more important than getting into and staying in the presence of God. Amen. And what better time than when we come into the house of the Lord on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning or a Sunday night. We get into the presence of God. Let's relish it. Probably the most well-known example of this is in the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 18, verse number 21. Turn there with me tonight. First Kings 18 and 21 says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal be God, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." They didn't have anything to say about that. They knew what they were doing. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. 450 people that are doing something other than the will of God. 450 people that, you know what, they may be distracted. They may have something else on their mind. You know what, when I come into the house of the Lord, I don't come to the house of the Lord to worship for you. And I know you don't come to the house of the Lord to worship for me. We come to the house of the Lord just to worship God. Amen. And I don't care what anybody else is doing. I don't care. I'm not waiting for somebody else to take off running around the aisles. I'm not waiting for someone else to clap their hands or to lift their voice unto the Lord. I'm not waiting for somebody to do that for me to get my cue to worship the Lord. But when I come into the house of the Lord, I've got my mind made up that when I come into those doors, I'm going to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Amen. I know it's Wednesday night. I know we're tired. I know it's been hot. It's been tiring. Praise God. But God's worthy of our praise. God's worthy of our praise. And so 450 verses 1. Verse 23 says, let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, lowercase g, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. They basically said, amen. We agree with this. We're going to go with this. We'll try this. He's kind of setting them up here a little bit if you look at it. Because he said, if you call upon your gods, lowercase g. Now we know tonight that there's only one God. And so there's only one God that's capable of answering by fire. Elijah knew that, but they didn't know that. Elijah understood that. So you see, he's kind of setting them up here. He's kind of setting them up to fall a little bit. Verse 25 says, and Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you out one bullock for yourselves. You take the first pick and dress it first. For ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, lowercase g, but put no fire under it. And they took the bullock, which was given them, and they dressed it. And they called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which they had made. And so Elijah here sees what they're doing. He sees the sacrifice that they're offering. He sees the motions that they're going through. And he begins to make fun of them. He begins to laugh at him. He says, well, maybe your God's asleep. And maybe you've got to yell a little bit louder so that he can hear you. Or he says, maybe your gods are on a journey. Maybe they've taken a trip. Maybe they're on vacation somewhere. And maybe they can't hear you. Maybe you just need to yell a little bit louder so they can hear you. He starts to laugh a little bit. He starts to make fun of them a little bit. Amen. He knows that their gods are not able to answer by fire. And they continue on, and the Bible says they get to the point where they cut themselves with knives and they're bleeding upon the altar. Blood is being shed upon this altar. Verse 29 says, and it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Amen. We know that when we come into the house of the Lord, we have some choices that we can make. You know, we don't have to do anything. We can come into the house of the Lord, we can sit on a pew and do nothing, and we can leave the same way that we came. People may try to encourage us to worship. The pastor or the song leader may try to promote us praising God. But ultimately, it's us that has to make up our minds what we are and aren't going to do. Oh, well, I'm tired tonight. Don't bother me. I'll worship the Lord on Sunday. But the prophets of Baal, if you read into this and you read how they went through this process, they started out with the right idea. They brought a sacrifice. Amen. They started out with the right idea. They prepared it and they laid it upon the altar. The Bible doesn't tell us that they prepared it in the incorrect way. But they laid it upon the altar. They prepared the sacrifice in the right way. You know, we can come into the house of the Lord and we can go through the motions. We can bring a sacrifice to God, but we can do it in our way. And we can offer it unto Him the way that we would want to offer it unto Him. We can say, God, I'm going to give You this much, but nothing more. God, I'm going to go this far, but I'm not going to go any further than that. We can decide what we do. We can decide if we go through the motions or if we truly bring a sacrifice to God. What does it lead to? In their case, it led to frustration. It led to anger. It led to confusion. I know I'd be angry if somebody was making fun of me. Ultimately, it led to no touch from God. Amen. And that's what happens when we come and we go through the motions. Amen. And I'm guilty of it. I've done it. And everybody knows this, I am a creature of habit. I tell my wife jokes with me that I'm dramatic, and I tell her, I said, you'd have to check me for a heartbeat. I am a creature of habit. I do the same thing. I get the same thing at every restaurant I go to. I know my wife can order for me everywhere I go. But when we come to the house of God, we cannot be a creature of habit. Amen. We have to be able to flip that switch off in our minds. And I'll tell you what, I have to make a conscious effort. I have to flip that switch off in my mind to be a creature of habit. Because you know what? We can't put God in a box. God doesn't always respond to the same types of things. He does always respond to prayer. He does always respond to worship and praise. But different types of praise, you know, when you come into the house of the Lord, there's times when you'll be praying and you feel just to begin to thank Him for all that He's done. You'll begin to thank Him for what He's done in your life. There's other times that you'll just begin to praise Him. You'll begin to thank Him for victory that He hasn't even given to you yet. You'll begin to pray for healing. You'll begin to intercede for somebody that doesn't even know how to pray for themselves or doesn't even know that they need prayer. Whatever vein that God is in that night, we can get into it, but not if we're a creature of habit. If we come into the house of the Lord and we pray the same prayer and we do the same thing, we're going to get the same results. And that can be good or that can be bad. But sometimes we've got to change it up. Sometimes we've got to mix it up a little bit. I'm preaching to myself here. We've got to be fluent. Fluid. We've got to be able to follow the Spirit of God. The word, the original Hebrew word for spirit is the same word as it is for wind. And I can't pronounce it. It's R-U-A-C-H, Ruach, or however you say it. But the Spirit of God is what gives us direction. And it's like a wind. It's like Brother Wilson preached a little bit about this, but it's like wind that's blowing in a direction. And so we can choose whether or not we want to go with the wind. And if you've ever walked with the wind, you know that it's a whole lot easier than when you walk against the wind. We can go against the will of God and against the Spirit of God, and it's going to be an uphill battle. It's going to be a fight. It's going to be something that we have to push through. Amen. But if we turn around and we go the other way and we start walking with God, it becomes a breeze. It becomes something that's at our back, something that's pushing us and helping us to go farther. Amen. So the presence of God is what we seek after. The presence of God is what we're hungry for. The fire that falls from heaven. And you know the story. Elijah rebuilds the altar that was broken down, and he lays this sacrifice upon the altar. And he tells the people that are standing around, he tells them, he says, pour water upon it. Build a trench about this altar and pour a little bit of water. You know, he didn't say a little bit. He said, pour barrels of water upon it. Now, in this time in Israel, they were in a drought. There was not a whole lot of water. Water was a very precious thing. But he told him, he said, get some barrels, get some drums of water and pour it upon the sacrifice. Pour it upon the wood. Pour it upon the rocks. Four barrels of water. And it filled the trench that was around this altar that had been built. And Elijah begins to call upon the name of the Lord in verse 37. He says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Amen. Imagine the heat that must have been coming off of that fire. Fire hot enough to be able to consume stone. Fire hot enough to be able to burn up 4 barrels of water in an instant. That's how my God answers prayer. That's how my God answers and accepts true sacrifice. Amen. When we come and we give that type of an offering to God, that's how we know that God has accepted that sacrifice. You know, God could have just come down and He could have just burnt up the sacrifice and everyone would have known that He was God. Everyone would have known that it was from God, that He had done it. But God went above and beyond that. Amen. God did exceeding abundantly above what these people could ask or think. He wanted to prove to them that there was no doubt. Amen. And it wasn't Elijah. It wasn't any of the men that were standing around. It was God. He wanted to make sure that He got all the glory. That's how my God answers when we bring Him heartfelt worship. Willing sacrifices. Amen. Not because we have to, not because we're pumped or primed or pushed, but willing sacrifices. And we offer it because we want and we have a desire to have the presence of God in our services. And we have been. I'm not preaching to us as a condemnation. Please don't take it that way. But as a reminder, God laid this upon my heart as a reminder to me that we, when we come into the house of the Lord, we need to offer a sacrifice, and we know that God has accepted that sacrifice when the fire from heaven falls upon it. When God's fire, when the Holy Ghost consumes that sacrifice, we know that God has accepted it. We don't completely, like I said before, we don't completely understand the Old Testament form of sacrifice because we're not under the same sacrificial laws that they were subject to. We know that Jesus did away with that when He became the final Passover sacrifice when He went to Calvary. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Amen. That's why we praise Him. Amen. That's why we fall in love with Him. Amen. That's one of the reasons. It's because He traded places with us. Amen. I can tell you tonight, we got the better end of the deal. He got the worst end of the deal. At least in my case, I can tell you, I got the better end of the deal. I want to tell us tonight, the concept of sacrifice is still very much so intact and very much a part of our walk with God. It's just a different type of sacrifice. Amen. We don't have to bring a ram when we come into the house of the Lord. I'm thankful for that. Amen. But we do have to bring a sacrifice. Amen. And I don't even want to say it that way. We don't have to. No one's going to force us. But we get to. We have the opportunity to bring a sacrifice. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Our bodies and what we do, our lives, are one form of our sacrifice to God. Our bodies, that refers to all of us. That refers to every part of us. The greatest commandment in the Bible says in Mark chapter number 12 and verse 29, Jesus answered, "And the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." Everything, every part of us. We love God with every single part of us. We know that to love means to give. So in turn, by loving God with our heart, mind, soul, and strength, we are giving those parts of ourselves to Him. We give Him our heart. Every part of our emotions. We give Him our mind and our intellect. You know what? We don't know more than God. God knows so much more than we do. We love Him with our soul. That's the spiritual side of us. And our strength, our body, our physical. We love God with every part of it. We give every part of it to God. We don't hold any part of it back. We give it as a sacrifice, just as they did in the Old Testament. And God takes every part of us. He consumes it with fire. Amen. When Jesus went to Calvary, he was not only the sacrifice, but he was the fire that consumed the sacrifice. Amen. And we bring a sacrifice every time we come into the house of the Lord. That's quite a contrast, I know, from the Old Testament to the New. But like I said, the concept has stayed the same. In the scripture we read tonight, it says that we sacrifice by offering praise unto our God. That means more than going through the motions. It means more than just fulfilling a program and then going on our way. We don't mark our time. We don't say, okay, 30 minutes is over, 15 minutes for song service, whatever happens. You know what? We just need to follow God's will. We need to be sensitive to God. I need to be more sensitive to God. We all need to be more sensitive to the presence of God. Because I don't know about you, I know you enjoy when you feel God's presence. And when we come to the altar and we can feel His presence and we feel the change, we feel God working on us and giving us victory, working out things in our spirit, working out things in our lives that we can't do on our own. And we relish those moments. But I'll tell you, sometimes those moments are too few and far between. Amen. Not because God changes. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But it's because we change. It's because we've got other things that are more important. It's because we're busy. Amen. We live in a busy world. We've got stuff pulling at us from every direction. Amen. But when we come through those doors, this is God's house and this is God's time. Amen. This is the time we need to be focused on Him. Amen. When we're praying, and I'm preaching to you as much as I am to me, okay? I'm not saying this just to you because I've arrived, because I've far from arrived in this area. But when we come into the house of the Lord and we begin to pray, we need to be able to block out everything that's pulling on us. Everything that's got our attention throughout the day. Amen. And we haven't even thought about God through the day. And we come into this house. You know what? God's worthy for the hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever it is that we're here, for us to block all of that out, throw it on the front porch. It'll be there when we leave. And we just need to focus on God. We need to give Him a sacrifice, a willing sacrifice, not spotted or blemished, not half-hearted, not part of us, but not all of us, but every part of us, every time, every time. We need to have the thoughts running through our head, did I bring a sacrifice tonight? Or am I giving God the leftovers? Did I bring thanksgiving and praise into this house? Or do I need to go out the door? And I know that may be a physical action, but maybe, you know, if it helps, go back outside and come back in. Get your mind right. Get your focus right. Sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes we have to tell ourselves, you know what, I'm gonna focus on God. And then your mind, I don't know about you, but my mind starts drifting off in a different direction. And I have to pull it back. No, God, I'm going to focus on You. God, forgive me. I'm sorry I've gotten distracted. God, help me to focus on You. God, help me to press in and to feel You the way that I want to feel You. God, help me to get into Your presence the way that I want to. Amen. We hold it in our hands. We hold the ability in our hands. Amen. Psalms chapter number 150 and verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. It's the will of God for us to have music. And we do. We have good music. Amen. We have good singing and musicians. Amen. We have good worship service. It's all in the will of God. And I'll tell you, you don't have to have music to pray or to worship and to praise God. But I'll tell you what, sometimes it does help. Sometimes it does help us to get into the mindset, to get into the focus, to focus on giving God praise. And we clap our hands to Him, as the Bible says, clap your hands, all you people. Amen. We praise Him in His sanctuary. We praise Him upon these instruments that are listed. We praise Him for His mighty acts. We praise Him for what He's done in our lives. Amen. I know, and I've said it before, I'm not just thankful for what God saved me from, and I am very thankful for what God saved me from, but I'm also thankful for what He spared me from, for what I didn't have to experience, for what I didn't have to go through out in the world. Amen. I gave my life to God. I was around 21, 22. I could have gone in a completely different direction. I've heard people say, I don't know where I'd be. I can tell you where I would be. I'd probably be dead or in jail. Okay? And I don't say that being proud of it, because I'm not. But I'm thankful for His mighty acts. I'm thankful for His excellent greatness. Amen. So we need to ask ourselves, is the offering that I'm giving to God, is it an acceptable offering? Is this the offering, the very best that I have to offer? Am I giving God the very best that I can? Amen. Musicians, come tonight. I want to encourage us tonight. Amen. Whatever we do, the Bible says, whatever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. When we come to the house of the Lord, when we worship and praise God, we're doing it for God. We're not doing it for anybody else. I'm not doing it for Brother Deontay. I'm not doing it to get somebody's attention or to see if anybody's watching. I don't clap my hands just when Brother Worse is looking at me. I don't run the aisles just when he glances in my direction. But I praise God because I have a desire in my heart to worship and to praise Him. Because it's cliche, but it's like a fire shut up in my bones that I've just got to get out. I've got to give praise to my God. Amen. And you know what happens? It comes up before God as a sweet savor. Amen. Just like the sacrifice in the Old Testament, it comes up before God as a sweet smell. God loves to inhabit the praises of His people. God loves to come into His church when He feels welcome. And when we praise Him, He feels welcome. Amen. We pray to prepare our hearts for the service. We worship and we praise God willingly and wholeheartedly to try to help to create an atmosphere where His Spirit feels welcome. And we do all this to prepare our hearts for the preaching of the Word. Amen. And so whenever God speaks to us, whenever God's presence comes down and it speaks to us, then we respond to it. We're changed by His Word. Amen. It's not just what we do here. It's not just what we do when we come to the altar that's important. It's what we take out the doors with us. Amen. I wonder, when was the last time you offered a sacrifice? When was the last time we offered a sacrifice of praise to God at our house or upon our job? It's not just a church thing. Amen. But we can do it to God, the Bible says, continually. Praise God. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. And why don't we just take a moment and lift our voices and let's thank Him for His excellent goodness. Let's thank Him and praise Him for His mighty acts. Let's lift our voices right now. Lord Jesus.